And I think I'm starting the broadcast.
You think you're starting that broadcast? I think I'm saying hello to the internet,
but I'm not sure because
we have an uncertainty principle. There's an uncertainty cloud around this podcast.
You can't know.
That's right. The Heisenberg uncertainty principle also works for podcasts. Is you can listen to a podcast, but you can't listen to a podcast without changing it. Because you never know. It could be a different podcast before you listen to it.
Schrodinger's podcast.
Schrodinger's?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a little... Definitely, I'm describing definitely more of the Schrodinger's cat theory than the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Because let's face it, you're not listening hard enough to this podcast to disrupt
you. You can know what is it? You can know what the podcast is about, or you can know how long it is, but you can't know both.
And I don't know what the podcast velocity is.
It's right now. It's moving pretty. It's moving at the speed of the Earth.
Aren't we all?
Yes, we are all. Brita ate Vegemite.
I did.
How was it?
Weird. I made a video.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a YouTube. There's a YouTube video. Oh, I'll put it in chat.
Okay. Awesome.
I gotta log into stuff.
Does it taste like beer?
No, not at all.
Does it taste like asshole?
No. I actually liked it. And Mike liked it, too. Oh, here we are. People are already in the chat. 8 people online. Oh, thanks everybody for showing up.
I would for my odd
no, it was good.
Odd European savory spread. I would really like to try both.
It was savory. Yes, yeah. And salty. You should watch a video. It's fun.
I'm watching it right now. But yeah, I would like to try.
People now want to send me.
And I have
things
a very personal
eat, so
reason
try
to try Bovril. And you really need to have some inside baseball on Bovril. To know, and I'm not going to say why.
Bovril? Did you Bovril. Say that? I got to Google this.
Yeah, it's a beef stock spread. It's made. From-
so it's going to be this week on Brita Eats.
I think I'd probably if it's beef, I would probably like Bovril.
Yeah. If you read the Wikipedia page, Brita, I guarantee you'll figure it out. Don't give away the secret.
Okay.
Actually, let me look. Typing.
Is it like?
Listen to me type.
Beef testicle spread or what?
No, just read the Wikipedia page.
Oh jeez.
There, I'll even post the Wikipedia page in the in there.
Oh dear.
Now I have, it's like a challenge now. I have to try it. No, I really like Vegemite. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Thick, salty meat extract. Oh, that sounds dirty.
Hey, you want some of my thick, salty meat?
Okay, that's enough.
Did you figure it out?
Not yet.
But yeah, no, I want to try some Bovril. So somebody send me some Bovril.
What?
This is good podcasting.
Fluid?
I know. I'm reading the internet. Good podcasting. I'll read this later.
Beef tea?
Beef tea. Yum.
Really?
See, doesn't it sound delicious?
I like beef. I don't know. I want to rub
some cow on my toast. and I have some personal reasons.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I want to rub cow on my toast.
Good enough then.
Yeah.
Whatever smacks your ass there, weird.
Will it smack my ass? Hot damn, I'm going to go on Amazon right now.
Let's all send a jar of Bovril to Weird.
Get video.
So hello, internet.
Hi.
It was a slow news week, but we got a really good show.
Apparently, it's a slow show week too.
Yeah, that means
always a good show when you're here. Weird.
Yeah, but more motherfuckers need to sign in because this is going to be a good show,
weird.
And you're going to call in. Right, let's start with the call in topic. Let's get that call in topic going because let's get them juices flowing. I think it was your idea, Brita.
So yeah. What would we interview you about? I asked on Facebook, you know, what would we interview people about, but also who are people that you would like to hear from? And, you know, it was really funny. A couple of people said that they wanted to interview my mom.
Yes, I agree.
I think that's hilarious. But my mom would be a great interview.
She has stories.
She does. She has stories.
Does she have Brita stories?
Oh,
because we want to hear those.
As my mom says to Little the Weirda, she says, "Oh, I can't wait till you can talk, because then you'll be like, can you tell me a daddy story?" And my mom would go, "Do you want to hear a good daddy story or a bad daddy story?"
Uh-oh.
And my mom automatically fills in Little the Weirda's answer, which is, "Oh, I want to hear a bad daddy story."
Of course.
And so, yes, your mom, I want to hear Brita stories, and I don't want to hear good Brita stories. I want to hear Brita stories where Brita did something and got sent to bed without supper.
That was constantly. I would not eat my food. You want to hear a Brita story?
This is a good already, because it's one of those, like, you just posted a video of you eating Vegemite, but yet then you just said you wouldn't eat your food.
I know. There were just some things that I would not eat as a kid. And, you know, I don't know. I was pretty, what's the word? Obstinate.
Stubborn.
And feisty and bossy.
When did you outgrow those traits, Brita?
Well, we're still all waiting, but, I wouldn't eat my food. I wouldn't eat my dinner. And, my mom and my parents thinking is, you know, they're kind of, discipline was, well, if you can't eat your food, you must be sick. If you don't eat dinner, you must be sick. So if you're sick, you have to go to bed. So I was sent to my room, you know, when I wouldn't eat my dinner, and I didn't care, because I was up on the second floor. We lived in a townhouse at this point, and we were up on the second floor, and I would get in my bedroom, and I'd open the window, and I'd shout across the little street at the neighbors, and I'd talk to the neighbors, and you know, there was a neighbor man across the street. We had kind of like a Dennis the Menace, Mr. Wilson kind of relationship where we loved each other, but I would torment him. I was merciless with this man, and the most patient man on earth. He had to have been. And so I would, you know, get sent to my room because I wouldn't eat my supper. And I would yell out the window, "Hi, Mr. B, how are you?" And he'd say, "What are you doing, Brita?" And I didn't eat my dinner again, you know, that sort of thing. So it was, you know.
There's a little girl that lives across the way from me that does sort of that sort of thing. I was bad because she has some traits of the Brita.
Oh, well, good luck to her.
Well, I think she's going to turn out okay.
Yeah.
It's the ones that don't have the joie de vivre that you got to worry about.
Is that what it's called?
Those ones turn into Obama voters.
Guess so. Yeah.
That's terrible.
No, I'll eat my dinner. Will you buy it for me?
Hey.
It is. Excuse me. Thursday.
Wednesday, March 75th.
April 3rd, 2014, episode 98.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't let weird smell weakness, Alan. It's not a safe thing.
Two more to go before the magical 100th episode.
Should we have something like a thing on our 100th episode?
I think we should.
Our centennial anniversary.
Yes, our centennial episode.
It's not really centennial, but, you know.
Well, 100 episodes.
Doesn't centennial imply years?
Whatever.
Yeah. 100 episodes.
Yeah, the ennial part is year, so yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just the sentinel episode.
Sentinel episode. We should do something. I don't know what.
We should.
We should have PJ O'Rourke on.
You know, I'm still waiting for PJ O'Rourke to call in.
Ain't gonna happen.
Come on. I keep sending him messages, but no.
Oh, speaking of that, we should announce our next book club book.
Yeah, we should.
This is the first episode of.
Did we decide on that April. And I missed it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you caught it too.
No, you know.
We decided on it. You were there. You agreed.
Okay.
It was a while ago.
All right.
Yeah. I think we should do The Gray Man.
My mom loves that book.
I just got to the epilogue. I'm almost done with it. And yeah, so and there's so, I could definitely make a show of it.
Cool.
All by myself.
And I bet there's a slight chance that we could probably get
you know what? I am.
He's not out in some secret BFE place in the middle of nowhere doing
shit. Yeah, I'm gonna shoot him an email.
Okay.
I'll be in charge of that. Because I've actually been talking to him back and forth about the book. When something happens, I'm like, can that really happen?
Oh.
They'd be like, yep.
Well, then.
Yeah.
We have a call.
Well, okay, good.
Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, I think that we should probably explain a little bit more what the book is, who the author is, and where to find the book.
Okay. We'll put
Go on.
We'll put a link in the link place.
Yeah.
The link place.
The link That's, place.
The Lincolnstein.
The book is, well, you talk about it, Weird. You're the one that's read
yeah,
it.
I haven't read it yet.
It's,
I haven't it,
finished
yeah,
it, with it.
It's written by Squirrel Report listener and occasional caller inner, Old NFO. And, yeah, I think it's what's his website? OldNFO.com or .org or, I don't know.
No, it's,
Yeah, oldnfo.org. Oh. Yeah. It's called The Gray Man Vignettes, and I'll be very curious on why he called it that.
That's right. His name, the name of the blog is Nobody Asked Me, but the URL is oldnfo.org. And NFO stands for Naval Flight Officer.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really good book.
Well, all right.
Yeah, and so yeah, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle if you're like me and you like to read stuff on with pixels.
Yep,
because pixels make for better reading.
I'll be getting it on a Kindle Pixel.
It's good. I'm almost done with it. So it has got the Weird seal of approval. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Should I take this call from our buddy, the gun enthusiast, before you?
Yes. Yes.
Because it is your buddy, the gun enthusiast.
My buddy. Mm-hmm.
Everyone's buddy.
How goes?
And he is enthusiastic about them guns.
He is.
He is, in fact.
I've heard him enthuse about them often.
And I have had Vegemite.
Ooh.
And what did you think?
Let's interview him about Vegemite.
Yes.
Interview me about... I actually had Vegemite when I was in Australia. Which is important.
Oh, that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Which is the land of Vegemite.
Yes, it is. Bring me a Vegemite sandwich, as it said in the old 80s song.
I remember that one.
Men at Work.
Yep.
So what did you think of it?
I liked it. I'm surprised it's not actually a common consumer item on shelves around here.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. I was a little hesitant. If you watch a video, you can see me. I'm like, kind of like, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm, you know, but once I taste it, I'm thinking, why is this not more popular? First of all, it's
very,
salty.
Very rich flavor.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's actually kind of hard to describe, but I could see it being used as an ingredient in cooking. I could, you know, have it in sandwiches. Have you had it with cream cheese yet? You got to have it with cream cheese.
No, I'll try that next. I got to get some cream cheese.
Yeah, it's really good. It is. And considering it's made out of what is basically byproducts of other processes, it's, you know, it's good.
It's a byproduct of beer. How could I not like that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff that would do a lot better in markets here if the people would just try it more.
We should come up with, there's enough microbrews around all of us that we could probably do some contracting to get their beer sludge to make Squirrel Port brand Vegemite. And I've got their marketing point. Squirrel Port Vegemite. It doesn't taste like asshole.
You know, the weird thing about Vegemite too is its texture. You know, if you read what its components are made out of, that kind of doesn't track with the texture of the stuff.
No, it's a weird texture.
It really is. But you know, you can see it being on somebody's non-refrigerated shelf for years.
I had a question. I read the bottle of it, the little jar, and it did not say whether or not I should refrigerate it.
Therefore, you shouldn't.
Well, I did anyway, just because.
Yeah, it's probably smart when it's opened.
I don't know.
Do you refrigerate your peanut butter?
No.
Okay, so why your Vegemite?
I don't know. It's not made of peanuts. I have no idea.
Peanut
butter. Have you ever had cashew butter?
Cashew butter, yes. And I have almond butter. I also don't refrigerate almond butter.
Yeah.
I refrigerate
a lot of other spreads that are out there. Like Nutella seems to be getting more and more popular. But that's been around for years, too.
Hmm.
And Nutella is so popular that, like, American companies are starting to make it now.
Yeah.
What was it, the cookie dough?
Oh, the cookie butter.
Cookie butter, yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Cookie butter.
Never had
apples.
That.
Cookie butter.
Oh,
on
my
sauce.
God.
What is cookie butter?
Cookie butter is like coconut oil, which is a solid. At room temperature, coconut oil is a solid. So they use that kind of as the base, but they crush up these delicious little spice cookies.
Uh-huh.
Into a powder, and they mix it with the coconut oil, so it's like a spread, and it tastes like cookies.
Yes.
It's
like
delicious.
It's like cookie dough peanut butter, but
is this like an Amish thing?
No,
sounds
you
like
can buy
frosting.
It. No, you can buy it at like Amish Trader things. Joe's and
those
Amish coconut trees.
It's amazing. Cookie butter.
Yep.
You can always tell when you're getting near the Amish because you start seeing like the men in the black hats and the horse-drawn carriages and the palm trees.
That's right.
Palm trees.
Palm trees are really big in Amish country.
Yeah, huge. Anyway, you know what? I don't know what to call you. My buddy, the gun enthusiast. We do have a call-in topic.
That's right.
So what's the topic?
You didn't hear it.
It was, what would we interview you about?
Yes, if you were the special guest, what would people be interested in hearing about?
Is this like how you were talking last week? If you had Cam Edwards over, you'd have him talk about making his own bacon?
Yes.
Yep.
So something that I'm an expert about that nobody
You don't have
about.
To be an expert. Just
not an expert, but, you know, something interesting.
Something you
can
pontificate about.
Yeah. Teach us something.
I am colorblind.
Huh.
And it turns out that my particular kind of colorblindness allows me to see better in some ways than people that are not colorblind. That's a weird topic.
That is
kind of a weird topic. I know that another one of our listeners, Bradley, is colorblind as well. And I know that there's there's different levels of colorblindness, correct?
And they're mostly sex linked, so it's mostly dudes.
Oh, good. Well, it would just bug me if I was colorblind.
Like one for instance. If I am looking at a scene and there's someone there in camouflage, I can actually pick them out where a person who had full color vision would not be able to.
Huh.
And is it true that you can see in infrared? You're like the Predator?
Infrared? I don't know. I don't know what the full spectrum is.
I actually found out
I was colorblind when I was much younger. I was getting my pilot's license. And by the time you get to the point where they'll actually let you fly a plane by yourself and stuff, I wanted to get a commercial pilot's license. So you have to take this big physical, including vision tests. And it was in the vision test that I found out that I was colorblind, which means, oh, well, so much for your aspirations of being a commercial pilot. But it was very interesting to, you know, those spotted tests that they give
you.
It's
so what
really
are you? You're obviously not red-green, because that would be the most common one. And it sounds like you're not the most common one.
No, it's red-green. You could hold a gun to my head, and I would not be able to tell you the difference between blue and purple.
Huh. I actually had a friend that had that, yeah.
And reds are very, very flat to me. I love deer hunting, but I really suck at tracking because I can't see blood, really, unless it's right there in front of me.
Huh.
It's interesting. My brother-in-law, you know, he can, you know, he'll come with me and he'll like spot blood splatter from 100 yards away, and I can't see shit. But you know,
that's interesting.
Kind of detrimental.
Yeah,
not if you're a really good shot. Just anchor that.
You have to be a really good shot. Yeah. So that's my story.
Interesting.
Cool. I think that's a good story.
That is a good one. That's a very
it's really interesting because for some reason, like my contrast vision is different than a normal person. So I can like see it like really far away. I can see a loose hair on somebody's shoulder that, you know, you wouldn't be able to spot, even like something as small as an eyelash. It's interesting for me to be able to see so easy. They suck in some ways, but they're better in other ways.
Somebody in chat asked, "What about lasers? Like a red laser, like you'd use on a laser sight? How do you see?"
Well, that's really interesting because the red lasers I can't see anywhere near as good as green lasers. Everybody says, though, green lasers are easy to see, so I don't know if it's just me or just the fact that I can't see red lasers.
Well, they are, but that's because the human eye is more attuned to seeing green.
And also, I think the green lasers are a little bit more powerful, too.
They can.
Yeah, they seem brighter.
Well, green's,
I know all the specs for the green lasers whenever, like, you know, Crimson Trace just came out with a green laser, and the battery life isn't nearly as long as the red.
That's because the green laser is a higher wavelength, so it takes more energy to...
Well, here's a really fucked up thing. Traffic lights. If a traffic light is really far away, it's hard for me to tell if it's red, green, or yellow.
Oh.
And have you ever seen the ones that are sideways?
Yes.
They'll put the red lights sideways?
Oh, yeah. All
what?
The time.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, they have them horizontally.
Right.
Which will totally fuck me up unless I'm right up there next to it. And so that's really weird.
Huh.
And in airports, very busy airports, they rely on colored lights for runway selections and stuff like that. And make sure you're landing in the correct end of the thing.
Which is why it's kind of important that you can see colors. Which is why they wouldn't give you your flight certificate, your physical for a commercial
pilot's license. Yep. Funny thing is, they'll give you a private pilot's license.
Right.
They don't care if you go kill yourself. You just don't want to take a whole plane load of people with you.
for money.
Yeah. So
you can do it as long as you're doing it for free.
So one of the side effects is I completely let my wife buy all my clothes.
That's always a good plan.
That's probably a good idea, no matter what.
Come to think of it, it turns out I'm colorblind too.
I think we all are.
You know, it's funny because men are a little bit loose with colors just generally, Mike is not colorblind. I know this for a fact. He is not colorblind. However, he goes to work earlier than I do and always has. And I remember one morning I woke up and he was getting dressed for work. And he was he was wearing a pair of olive green pants, like, you know, a dark kind of olive green pants. And he was putting on his shirt, and he happened to be putting on a shirt that was like a kind of a turquoisey aqua color.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat up in bed.
Very distinctive.
Like,
you said, "You sexy man, you take that shirt off."
I said, "What are you wearing?" I said, "You can't wear that to work." He's like, "What?" I said, "You just can't wear that to work." He said, "What? They're both green." No. No.
Technically, he is right.
Yes, but no.
One of my
I made him
favorite
change his shirt.
From one of my favorite movies is about something similar to this.
Yes. Mr. Okay. Blandings.
I had some samples. Oh. Here we are.
So there was a point in my life where my optometrist, who, you know, was helping me sort through all this stuff, he says, "Well, you know, we have one thing that we can probably do for you. We have some specialized color blindness correcting contact lenses if you'd like to try them."
Oh.
And I said, "Sure, what the hell?" And he says, "You should be okay with you because you've got brown eyes." And I didn't know what he meant by that. But when you get them, one of them is bright red. But
weird.
Only one of them. And so when you have these contact lenses in, I mean, it's okay if it's like evening or the light's low or whatever because I have brown eyes. You can't really tell. But if you're out in the daylight and
That's
somebody
freaky.
Looks at you, they're like, "What the hell?" Kind of, it was really funny. You kind of freak people out. Like, "What's wrong with you?" Yeah. So that was kind of funny. I tried them for a while. It really did change the color that I could see. I can't say that it made me see anything better. Just different.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
I think like anything,
weird.
The human brain adapts. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Your reality, what you see is your reality, and that's just what it is.
Yeah.
You know, your red is different than my red, so.
I definitely think that it's really influenced, like, the colors that I like and, like, the paint in my house or my furniture and stuff like that. I think that that's a big influence on it. But it's interesting, though. So that's the topic. That's an atypical topic.
All right.
Right.
See, I'm also colorblind when it comes to furniture. I just let my wife pick out the furniture because she's going to anyway. I'm not going
to
win that.
I like to retain veto. Is how we look at it. If
I tried to do that. There's a story behind it. I don't want to tell it.
All right. Thanks for calling. Our
All right,
the
talk to you
enthusiast.
Later.
Bye.
We do have topics.
We do
also.
Have topics. And you can call in and opine on these topics or any others. That's area code 214-530-0036.
Let's talk about the hookers.
The hookers, yes, the NFL hookers. They made a big announcement. Apparently they've tried this at a few stadiums already, but apparently the NFL is greenlit. And this is one piece of a variety of, quote, fan experience, unquote, things that if you're a huge NFL fan, you can sign up for, like things like an express lane into the stadium where you don't have to stop and wait or anything. And they have all kinds of weird, like you can go down on the field if you pay extra money and stuff like that, which, you know, first place, I'm not going to be there anyway. And I'm regardless. But one of the things that they're touting is that you can have a cheerleader come visit you in your seat for a certain sum of money.
For an extra fee.
Which just boggles the mind.
And it may boggle other things.
It might boggle other things. I mean, the whole thing is bizarre. You know, it's, you know, on the one hand, they are making the football experience more interesting to the hardcore football fans, I suppose. I'm not one of those, so I can't
speak to that. So why aren't they sending players to visit you in the seats?
You know, that's a damn good question.
Well,
it also would go on the fact of it's kind of like the, you know, even me, I used to get conned into it a little bit of the, hey, come on over for our Super Bowl party. And I'd be like, why? I don't even know the teams that are playing. And I don't know who's supposed to win, and I don't know how to root for. I know the basic rules, but, you know, because, come on, you got to do that. But yeah, no, I don't get it. I don't want to. And they go, oh, but you can watch, you know, just come to watch the Super Bowl commercials. The Super Bowl commercials are crazy and cool. Ugh. And all that. It's one of those, like, the Super Bowl commercials are, as we say in Boston, a pink Red Sox hat sort of thing. As a general rule, the statement is that, you know, if you see a woman walking around with a pink Red Sox hat instead of the standard blue and red one, it essentially means that they don't really give a shit about baseball. They don't know the rules to baseball, but the Red Sox now win stuff. So yay, you know, bandwagon. And, so it just seems like the having a cheerleader visit your, I mean, if you're at a football game for the cheerleaders, you're not really a football fan.
Well, you know, guys go to events for that, you know.
There's a reason the cheerleaders are there.
Yes.
And it's not for...
it's to encourage the crowd and...
Yeah, but that doesn't happen.
The players.
So much.
I don't know.
Because they don't do that. It's not like, okay, like mm-hmm. in you know, originally... I mean, you can get into the history of it and all, but they, you know, it actually... When they first started having cheerleaders, they were all men, and
they
actually led cheers. I know it's mind-boggling.
Back in Allen's day,
yeah, back in my
day. Hey, no, not just back in Allen's day. I had a very close friend in college who was a male cheerleader.
Well, and that's the interesting thing is football, high school football is really big in Texas, and as far as I know, there aren't a whole lot of guy cheerleaders in high school. I've known of, there was like one guy in my high school that
went. There were none in mine.
And this, the guy, I, you know, on, in hindsight, it was an awesome move on his part.
That was this dude that I knew. He was talking about, like, you know, when I first heard about it, he went, you know, cause this dude was like an amazing dancer, and he was a huge dude, big motherfucker, an unbelievably graceful dancer. Like, you would be very surprised at how graceful this guy was. And I said, how the hell did you get so, you know, so graceful, being just a big chunk of meat that you are? And he says, oh, I was a cheerleader in high school. And of course, my first response was, why were you a cheerleader? And he looked at me and said, I got to take girls that weren't wearing very much and were pretty and pick them up and throw them around.
Right.
And I went, shit, good point.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
But male cheerleaders are very common in colleges. Still.
Our former president, George W. Bush, was a cheerleader.
Yes, he was. So, and yet, by the time you get to the pro sports, there are no male cheerleaders. They're all like more like the dance troops.
Well, that is because on the pro level, men with breast implants are off-putting.
So anyway, if you're an NFL football fan, you can pay extra and have a cheerleader visit you in your seat.
All I'm going to say is the naysayers that, and this is a subject matter that I could give two shits about. One of the naysayers for strip clubs say, you know what, we shouldn't encourage strip clubs to be around because, let's face it, those girls are using the strip club as a source to turn tricks. I don't give a shit about that either. Actually, I give way more of a shit about that because it's one of those, like, oh, so, you know, I can take you out for a dinner and a movie and then have my way with you, and that's legal, but instead just give you the $50 that I paid for the dinner and the movie, and that's suddenly illegal? Yeah, no, doesn't make any sense. But
well, you know, professionals are always more expensive than amateurs.
Well, that's why I like the amateurs.
Oh, God.
And on that note.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, you know, I think everybody was kind of up in arms about this cheerleading thing, saying, oh, cheerleaders today, or they're all athletes, and they're all, you know, badasses, and they get injured in their sport, and nobody is contesting that. But the fact remains that, you know, little boys can have the potential to grow up to be NFL players, and these little cheerleaders have the potential to grow up to be people who visit people in their seats for an extra fee. That was, you know, I there was kind of a hubbub on Facebook about that whole thing. And that was my whole point. Like, yeah, sure, cheerleaders are very athletic, and they work really hard, and they have their competitions, and good for them. But the fact remains that there's this level of, let's not pretend about what cheerleading is. I mean, the name alone, yep. you're cheering for someone else.
Right.
You know, wouldn't it be better for you as a woman or a girl to be the one someone else is cheering for if you want to participate in a sport? That's just, you know.
Hence the reason why you should just skip the cheerleader thing and go straight to pole dancers, because
they get tips.
And they're athletes.
Pole dancers make a lot more money than cheerleaders. Cheerleaders don't make shit.
But they might get a chance to have sex with Hugh Hefner. Ugh.
Yeah, there's a plus.
Is he still alive?
He sure is.
Wow.
Only just barely?
Only just barely, yes.
Okay.
He's definitely a mummified corpse. He's definitely in the D&D Undead Player's Handbook.
Yeah, oh, I was going to say, maybe he's a zombie at this point.
Oh, definitely, he is definitely of witch status.
Patient zero.
JB Miller in the chat just said Redskins cheerleaders do not get paid. What?
I think that's not uncommon.
Man, why do we have to keep the Native Americans down this way? I mean, it is the 21st century.
Oh, please.
If you are a Native American, you should get paid as much as a white or a black woman.
That's funny. Okay. So anyway, what else did we have? Oh, right.
Bubble wrap.
Oh, you want to do that, or you want to do the? Do you want to do the bubble wrap, or you want to do the Fort Hood thing real quick?
You know what? Let me just summarize Fort Hood. Gun-free zone. Crazy guy shot a bunch of people in a gun-free zone. The only person who ended the rampage was a person with a gun who showed up later. The end.
The end.
It's the common story.
Oh, and like all people that absolutely love gun control, they are now saying that the security measures in place for, you know, what was it, four people died?
Yeah.
Like a bunch of, there was a lot of people that took lead.
Yep.
Yeah.
In this and all that. I mean, it was bad. And it's even worse when you realize that every single one of those people had certified with a weapon.
Yep.
And yet every single one of those people also did not have a weapon. It's not like, oh, they had, you know, they had their sidearms on them and they just weren't quick enough and they got shot. No, nope. No. Nope. They were completely unarmed except for the people that were armed, and those people stopped this person.
Yep.
And they didn't need to shoot him. They just showed up with their guns and he said, oh, look, here's my next target. It's my own head.
Yep. That's right. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Like most of these guys.
Yeah, but the people are saying, oh well, thanks to the security put in place from the last Fort Hood shooting, which, I mean, come on, we're actually saying from the last one. You know, that's just a red flag right there. We were able to minimize, just so they're now saying, you know, just like all the anti-gun people where you say, oh, look at Chicago, it's such a bloodbath, you know, everybody's getting shot in Chicago, and the anti-gun people turn around and say, well, yeah, but think about how many people would get shot if we didn't have gun control.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're keeping the elephants out of Fort Hood too.
Yep.
The same way.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. There aren't any elephants there. That is true.
Yep.
So we need to our soldiers are trained to use weapons. They're good enough to use weapons. You know, I can get saying, you know, if you're on, you know, if you want to go off base, you have to check your issue gun. Don't be taking the government issue hardware off base because it does belong to them and that sort of stuff. But when you're on base, you're a soldier. There's a certain amount of training that's gone into you. You're a valuable asset. Protect yourself.
Never, ever going to happen.
Nope.
Because the generals and the officers in charge are petrified of soldiers having weapons when they're not actually using them to shoot at people.
Yep. Except for when the war zone comes to you. And it turns out this guy was not a jihadi, but again, military bases are being targeted because just like shopping malls and other places, they are soft targets.
They are. They're very
soft. And they are softer targets than shopping malls because most shopping malls aren't gun-free zones.
Right.
There's a bunch that are, but most aren't.
Right. We got another caller.
Woohoo!
It's Bradley.
Hey, yeah. Bradley.
I heard you guys talking about Fort Hood, so I had to call in. Because I mentioned this on a Facebook thing. Most people don't understand. Most military installations are only protected by the honor system. You know, anybody with a driver's license can get on post. They're not checking cars. You know, it's my honor that I really not bringing a gun that I haven't registered with a provost marshal in my trunk with me.
Nope.
You know, at least when I was overseas, they were checking, you know, every fourth car, every fifth car. I haven't been checked or searched once. You know, I took rental cars onto, when I first moved here, I drove a rental car on there and, you know, here's my driver's license, here's my rental contract. That's all they wanted to see. They don't care.
No, they're, well, you know, it's, you know, what did... If they tried increasing security, people would bitch and complain. But yet, you know, like every American base everywhere in the continental U.S., it's a complete gun-free zone. Holy crap!
Right, and I don't think everyone on post should be walking around with their issued weapon. I honestly don't think we need to be walking around with driving around with Mark 19s and M2s on the Humvees doing border patrol.
I do.
But I've got no problem with everyone with a CPL, CWP, whatever it's called where you are, is to carry a gun.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
most,
register with the MPs.
Most people aren't going to be able to do that because they are not residents of the state where they're stationed.
I wasn't legally a resident of the state of Georgia when I was stationed in Georgia. I had a Georgia concealed pistols license because there's an exemption for military personnel. South Carolina is the same. Colorado is the same. And Washington is the same. Hawaii, no one can get a gun, you know, carry from it because they hate us.
Yeah, for the time being.
That'll change. But again, yes. They don't, you know, I'm telling you, you are not going to see unless it gets to the point where society deteriorates so much that the military is policing the country. You are not going to see armed soldiers that, you know, besides the MPs in the U.S. It's just not going to happen.
I don't think even, you know, in a total without rule of law and the army's, you know, doing a borderline coup, I don't think we'd ever see the military armed on the installation. Because, like you guys mentioned earlier, the generals are so absolutely, you know, panty shitting hysteria scared of a private with a rifle.
Yes, they are.
Overseas in war zones, unless you're at a forward fob that routinely gets fire, you usually don't have your weapon right next to you, or if you do have your weapon, you don't have ammo. You know, I know fobs in Iraq that they were taking the bolts from the guys, and the first sergeant kept all the bolts so that nothing could happen because there are safe fobs.
Great.
And yes, I used air quotes.
Yeah, ugh. Safe.
And for those not knowing, FOB stands for Forward Operating Base.
Yes, these are
which is Forward Operating Base is not safe.
Right.
Is, if it's got the F in front of it and the O in there, that means it's not safe. If it was safe, it wouldn't be a FOB.
I'd go so far as to say if you're an American personnel stationed in a foreign country, you'd be crazy not to be armed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to my understanding, until Clinton, they actually could be. Because the SOFA before Clinton in Germany had all the military personnel were technically recognized by Germany as ambassadors.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's why they didn't have to follow a lot of German hunting laws and gun laws and stuff like that.
Interesting.
But when they changed the SOFA, they got them reclassified as foreign troops or something like that. And it's like, damn it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, then we had to register all our weapons.
So, Bradley.
Bastard.
What would we interview you about?
I honestly have no idea. I don't really do anything that's all that weird.
Except wear a different colored shirt on Fridays.
He wore a kilt last week.
Did he?
I was wearing a kilt on Friday. Yes,
I
was.
I missed that.
I pay attention to these things.
Oh, Bradley, by the way, it's now illegal to take upskirt shots in Massachusetts. that ship has sailed there, honey bun.
Crap. I do have to fly on Sunday to Utah, so I was kind of thinking about wearing the kilt when I fly just to piss off the TSA.
It is a good way. Kelly Grayson during the Kilted to Kick Cancer, wore his kilt on an airport and refused to go through the Pervo scanner, as we should all do. And they said to him, you know, they said, you know, the guy called the supervisor over, and the supervisor said, "Sir, may I ask you what you're wearing under a kilt?" And he goes, "This is a kilt. If I was wearing anything under it, it would be a dress." and then they just simply said, "You can go, sir."
Nice.
Awesome.
So if you do not have an infant, then you should wear a kilt.
There you go.
Noted.
I'll keep that in mind.
Where can I get an infant on short notice?
See, this is where my idea about rent a baby would be awesome.
You can't rent babies.
Yep. If you do not have a baby, one will be issued to you.
I bet you can make a lot of money with that service.
That's right. We'll just collect them on the other side of security and bring them back and just keep recycling them.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Have
just
them a bunch
security.
Of them so they can have apps and stuff like that.
Just through security, that'd be a good thing because I'm one of those people that actually pay extra to have a flight with no kids on it.
Yeah, I mean, well, you don't want to give them the kid because they have to take care of them, and you know that's a lot more background stuff. Instead, you just issue them the kid.
Right.
They get to, you know, jiggle them and hold them and poke their belly and stuff like that for a little bit, you know, because they're kids. You know, you can have fun with it. But as soon as they get through security, you got to give the kid back,
right?
And you will pay a deposit fee. So therefore,
right.
if you don't give the kid back, your deposit fee is forfeited. So that $29.95 is in my pocket, and I can get another baby. Don't worry about it.
Well, from the human trafficking thing I just watched that the Army made me watch again. I think I can get more than $29.95 for a healthy white baby in the Middle East. So,
you probably could.
Hey man, this baby issuing business is entirely colorblind. As a matter of fact, I have heard that you can get red skin babies for cheaper.
Aren't they free?
Evidently, you know that. Yeah, you don't have to pay for them. But I mean, but again, $29.95 is your deposit fee plus the we'll have to do some little some little information to figure out what the good rental fee will be to keep everything operating. Formula's expensive.
Well, you got to feed them and keep them in diapers.
Oh yeah.
Diapers and formulas are expensive stuff. You got to pay your baby wrangler.
They need to have naps. You need to have cribs. There's a lot of overhead. So we're definitely going to be doing some research on it. But I think it could be a lucrative business.
I think so. Hey, thanks for calling, Bradley.
Okay, talk to you guys later.
And speaking of kids.
Yes.
Are you going to raise your child in bubble wrap weird?
Sure, I'm not. At least I think so. I definitely am one of those things of the, you know, as a child, I definitely did the, you know, there were playgrounds around where I lived. There was a bunch of playgrounds. I lived right across the street from some schools and stuff like that. So yeah, there was always playgrounds. I wanted to play in the woods or play in, you know,
yeah,
play in the mud and play in the rocks. And yeah, no, I'd get like, you know, gashed up and all of that. And there's,
well,
you know,
weird.
A bunch of,
weird, the last picture I saw of LaWeirda on your blog, she was in the shopping cart.
Yep.
And she had the little padded bumper for the shopping cart.
Yeah, that's more just to truss her up.
Okay.
And it's also just to keep her from, you know, licking the awful ants and all of that.
Yeah.
She will ingest bellyfuls of dirt like her daddy did, but I'm not going to be like, all right, eat your dirt.
She'll do
and
it
also,
anyway.
Yeah, that's all, that, yeah, that thing was also
anyway.
Just to help her keep upright.
She the whole bubble wrap thing is I listened to one of the podcasts I listened to. They had a guy on talking about epidemiology. It was like immunology, your immune system, allergies, and stuff like that. And basically what they're starting to think of is that we screwed up our immune systems by everything being too clean.
Yep. I tell people, I am allergic to dust. And I tell my mom, there is a reason why I am allergic to dust. And you could go into my parents' house right now and do the white glove test. And it will pass. My mom is an obsessive cleaner.
Well, they found that people that there are certain bacteria and certain worms, you know, intestinal
what?
Parasites that make it so you don't have allergies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting.
And the whole no worm thing is a fairly recent invention in the first world. It's been, you know, worms were kind of like a symbiote with humans until as recently as 100 years ago or so when they started the massive deworming campaigns and public health and all that. These worms as a byproduct of living in your intestine and basically your poop secrete chemicals that depress your immune system response to foreign stuff that doesn't,
like worms.
Well, right. They're making your body tolerate them, but the byproduct of that stuff is you don't have allergies.
Huh.
Well, I mean, also to be fair, I should say I was allergic to dust. I am no longer allergic to dust. And the reason how I am no longer allergic to dust is I would go in once a week into my doctor's office and they would inject me with dust mite shit.
Are you kidding?
They would have purified dust mite extract and they would inject into my arm and I would get an awful allergic reaction to it. But as it would go on, I would get more and more of the stuff and I would get less and less of a reaction until... It takes about 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, you're no need for it anymore.
They also
same thing with when it turned when I started working with rats and mice. It suddenly turned out I'm allergic to rats and mice.
Not anymore.
But not anymore. I am not, right. Because they had to make it special for me because not many people have that request.
You know, this is really interesting. My brother Sean, he would go to Ireland in the summer times. And our family has like a dairy farm. And he would go and he'd spend the summer in Ireland. And he would help on the farm. And when he was, I don't know, I want to say like really early teens, my brother always throughout his whole life had really bad hay fever and like kind of like seasonal allergy type thing. And he'd have to take Benadryl and like the whole deal and get shots and stuff. And one summer he went to Ireland and he was helping on the farm and he was wearing blue jean shorts. He was wearing shorts and he was, baling hay. And he was apparently in the process of baling hay. He was brushing the hay against his legs. And he had such an extreme allergic reaction where his legs were, like, swollen. And he was really sick with this allergic reaction. But after he got over it, he never had allergies ever again.
They say that children raised on farms very rarely have allergies.
Yeah. Yep. Amish children have very low peanut allergies because they're exposed to peanut butter earlier than you know.
I'm definitely pushing hard for the as soon as it is safe for my daughter to eat peanut butter because you got to worry about it. There's a choking hazard factor involved that has nothing to do with allergies, but like there's some schools of thought that say, oh, you shouldn't introduce peanuts to a child until a certain point in their life, and I'm like, all right, first up, you know, I lived on peanut butter as a child.
Yeah. Yep, me too.
Yeah. And two, it's one of those, like, you know, I kind of wonder about all this, like, peanut allergy is all this, like, freak show of, like, oh, you can't even bring peanuts into schools anymore. And
right.
It's ridiculous.
Things like that. And, like, what do you think you're doing?
Well, it's like a vicious circle.
Yep.
You know, the parents are like, oh, I can't let my children have peanuts. And so they hold off so long exposing their children to peanuts that allergies develop. It's like a vicious circle. So kids aren't exposed to peanuts, and so more allergies develop. You know.
I wonder if you guys noticed this as well. I certainly did. In college, I bumped into a lot of people that suddenly discovered they were lactose intolerant.
Huh.
In college, my theory is that they were suddenly, this is the first time that they were away from their parents, and there wasn't somebody dropping a glass of milk in front of them to say, "Drink your milk."
Well,
that's interesting. I don't know.
Some people become lactose intolerant as they get older.
Naturally. Well, I mean, that's also the general thing. But I think I've never heard of any hardcore milk drinker, someone that really, really loves milk and they drink a glass of milk every single day and it's their favorite thing. And they always have milk with, you know, cereal with milk every breakfast and that sort of thing. Suddenly getting lactose intolerant.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's the whole weaning thing. I mean, we're not supposed to drink milk our entire lives. And as soon as you stop drinking milk, you suddenly lose the enzymes to digest it because...
Well, that kind of makes sense.
Because suddenly your body says, oh, I've officially been weaned at age, you know, 19.
21.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well,
now you can be on your parents' insurance until 26. So keep drinking that milk.
Yep. Insurance. Oh, but the
insurance,
that's right.
But no, definitely I've decided my daughter loves knives. Loves them.
Every time a knife comes, I don't think that's an allergy.
She's fixed, but still, it's the same idea. It's one of those as soon as she is old enough to safely handle a knife, she's going to get a knife. And it's, you know, she might get a not a super sharp one right off the bat sort of idea just to make sure.
Yeah.
But she'll be getting a sharp knife and just like Daddy. Daddy's all covered in gashes. I nipped my finger really, really, really bad a few months ago and, you know, actually had a little bit of arterial flow. And after it was all done, my wife looked at me and went, geez, after I got all the bleeding stopped and there was a bandage on it, and I'm like, okay, we're better. Now let's move on to doing some other stuff. She just went, wow, you really handled that well. I'm like, yeah, I love knives. I have a lot of knives. So I cut the shit out of myself with them. It just happens.
Yeah. It happens.
It's one of those things, but it's one of those, you know, I don't, you know, cut myself too badly. You know, this was one of those things of just the, it was a really, really, I was cutting something that was on a curved frame. And so my hand was behind the blade without me realizing it. I felt like my hand was beside the blade, but the frame curled around enough that,
oops.
Yeah.
Oops.
And I was indeed cutting towards myself without myself fully realizing it. And so that's why the wound was so bad as it was. And, but yeah, patch myself up and just get on with my day. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, there is this thing where, you know, a lot of parents don't want their children to be hurt. There are lessons in being hurt.
That's
you
right.
know,
yeah.
Do not pester the cat. The cat will fuck you up.
That's right.
And, yep. and yep. usually with kids, they learn, hey, the cat has claws and will hurt me. And so I'm not going to do that again.
Yep. Yeah. I've known a ton of kids that had just unnatural fears of bees. Yeah. Cause once you get stung by a bee, you suddenly realize that a bee is not something to be messed with. You know, I happened to be a biologist at an early age. And so I knew what bees liked and what they didn't like. So I didn't care. I was always the kid in the playground patting the bumblebees. And everyone was all like, oh, it's going to sting you. It's going to sting you. And it's like, yeah. Same thing with I'm the dude that always pats the skunks.
Oh.
Because you just got to know. You got to know what the skunk doesn't like. If the skunk doesn't like it, you stop doing it.
Yeah.
Did you hang up on me?
No, you hung up on yourself.
I didn't. That was weird.
Okay. You know, every once in a while, you'll read one of these free range children articles, which is interesting because when I was a kid, everybody was free range.
Oh, yeah.
We went wherever we want. In fact, most of the time, the mom was saying, "Get the fuck out of the house." Not, you know, she didn't say it like that.
Come home when the streetlights are on.
But that was the rule.
Come home when the streetlights are on.
When it gets dark, come home. And a lot of times, I got, you know, it was like yelled at, "Come home," you know, because, you know,
yeah.
And we roamed around on our bikes all over the damn place with no parental supervision whatsoever from an extremely early age. I mean, I was in, you know, first, second grade, and I was roaming the neighborhood by myself.
My group usually traveled in packs.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, no, you learn little cost benefit analysis.
Right.
I used to climb trees, and there was definitely one time where I had fallen halfway out of a tree and was hanging by one branch with blood dripping into my face because I'd caught a branch on the way down. And my reaction to that was, that's cool. Keep climbing trees. I still like climbing trees.
But I was reading an article about these playgrounds that they're starting to build that are like free range children playgrounds where they have, it's basically like a dump that the kids can go play in. And the article made the point that a lot of children these days are never without some form of adult supervision.
Right.
Yep.
All day long. And I was just like, unbelievable.
And on top of that, it's uppity adult supervision. That's all like, oh my God, I don't want, I mean, you know, when I put my daughter in daycare, people are like, you know, oh, aren't you worried about her getting sick all the time? And I'm like, no, I want her to get sick all the time. She's got a cold right now. Right. That is good. I want her to get this sick shit out of the way.
Build up her
immune
system.
And then have a nice, robust immune system. And then I don't have to fucking deal with it. It'll be like me. I used to go to daycares and play camps and all that. And I was sick all the time as a child. And my parents had to deal with a baby with a fever all the time. And now I don't get sick hardly at all.
Hmm.
Yep. Did your parents do the chicken pox thing?
Oh,
I actually believe I'm immune to chicken pox.
Huh.
But yeah, no, I was exposed to it a billion times.
Okay.
And yeah,
I never caught it. My wife either. But and then finally, as one of those, when they came out with the vaccine in the 90s, I had that done.
Yeah, it took me forever to get chicken pox, and it actually my mom finally she sent me. We had some friends and they had like four kids and they all had chicken pox. And she sent me over there to play for a whole day.
Yeah.
And I finally got it. It was like, I was like the last kid in my class. I just was not getting it for some reason. And she had to like force the chicken pox on me. I don't know.
A friend of mine's father got chicken pox in like his 40s.
Oh, nice. That's bad.
That is bad
news. He was laid up for like weeks.
Yeah.
he said it was just, he said it was the most painful, awful thing on the planet. Because if, yeah, if you get it when you're older, if you get it when you're a kid, it sucks.
Yeah. And
you're over it. If you get it, if you get it as an adult, it is a big deal.
Well, if you and get then it, you also get shingles, right? Which is terrible.
It can kill you.
Yeah. Shingles.
Yeah. My house has shingles. But come on. You can't lob them over the plate like that for me.
So, yeah, anyway, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Go let your kids get hurt.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I said,
do them a favor.
I used to climb trees and get hurt climbing trees, but climbing trees was fun. But then at one point, friends of mine, we used to hop fences. We used to jump into the neighbor's yard and, you know, run up and down the street in the backyards of people, and nobody seemed to care. And, and all of that. And then, you know, one day I hopped over a fence and I was wearing a pair of shorts, and, my short legs caught into the pants, and I ripped my shorts all the way up to the belt line.
Oops.
And, that was the last time I've ever hopped a fence. Cause I just said, you know what? That totally sucked. And this isn't really that fun of a game.
Yep.
And it's good for kids to learn that sort of stuff. There's such a thing as suck good, and there's such a thing as suck bad.
Yep.
Getting cut with knives and falling out of trees, good. Ripping your shorts, hopping fences, not so fun.
I guess as a girl, I had a different experience of childhood. I didn't do a whole lot of the rough and tumble boy getting hurt stuff, but my parents did kind of let me go outside and get dirty and do stuff and be unsupervised. And, you know, I think there's a lot of parenting now that it has more to do with the parent's ego than with the kid.
Yes.
You know, because you want your child to be perfect and you don't want it to get hurt because everybody's watching you on Facebook or everybody, you know, my gosh, what are you going to put in the scrapbook? Or
and like I said, my daughter has a cold. It sucks. It's way more work. She, you know, I slept like crap last night because she kept waking up and coughing, and I would hear it and wake up myself and all of that. So I was waking up all through the night. I got a shitty night's sleep and all that. She got a shitty night's sleep. She's definitely crankier in the mornings and all that, not liking it and all boogers and stuff. It's gross.
Sure.
It sucks. And so the obvious solution, if you're a selfish asshole, is to say, well, I'm not going to let my kids get sick because it's no fun taking care of sick kids.
Right.
But but you need to get sick because otherwise you're going to be a scrawny weakling.
Yep.
You know, and you need to let your kids, you know, get hurt and, like, you know, go out and run around and, yeah, you know, oh, you know, maybe, you know, maybe they'll, you know, get in a fight or, you know, somebody will, you know, bring them home and say, oh, you know, they were throwing apples at my house or, you know, getting into some mischief that needs to, you know, that needs to be discussed.
Yeah. But those are all learning experiences that kids need to have.
Absolutely. All learning experiences.
I honestly believe this, kids need to get into trouble.
Oh yeah, because nowadays we've got with the whole fucking. I mean, the extended side to the bubble wrap kids is the helicopter parents,
right?
Where, like, your adult child will show up for a job interview and mom will be there and ask to sit in on the interview.
Ah,
yeah,
no,
yeah, and yeah, congratulations, you don't get to have a job.
Yeah, you need to let your kids go outside. You need to let them ride their bikes all over the neighborhood. You know, I don't know. And we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have anything. Our parents had no clue about where we were. And if they needed to get a hold of us, they'd have never been able to find us.
Well, the whole cell phone thing even stakes it as one of those, like, geez, I could push that envelope even more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things my parents always used to say to me, all right, you know, when I was, you know, like in high school age and I'd, you know, go out with friends and all that, and they'd be like, all right, you need to be home by 11 o'clock and, you know, at, you know, some intermediate time, I just want you to call and check in with us and just so we know where you are and know that you're okay. And this was, I mean, it wasn't defiance. It was just the, I'd be out hanging out with my friends and I wouldn't be looking at my watch because right. I was having a good time. And so suddenly I'd look at my watch and realize, oh Jesus, it's like hours after I said they'd call and they're probably in bed. So I'm not going to wake them up. And then finally it just came down to the point of just where I just said to him, cool. I just said, you know what? This is working out just fine. I haven't been calling you. I know you didn't like that, but guess what? I've been coming home in one piece every night.
Yep.
Why don't you just, you know, extrapolate on that curve? I don't think I said extrapolate on that curve.
Yeah, that would
have gone over much better.
Yep.
I'm definitely
remember that.
Sure my daughter has the good good vocabulary.
Yeah, teach her that.
That's right. Yeah, tell her to use asymptotes.
Because every teacher in school loves a kid that can talk about asymptotes and
as a child that had a very very heavy vocabulary and enjoyed like reading things like encyclopedias and dictionaries. I just grab a volume of the encyclopedia or pick up the dictionary and thumb through it as I was laying in bed.
I used to do that
to sleep. Yeah, no. The teachers didn't much care for that. That was before I learned that teachers could you know also could be dumb shits like everybody else.
Yeah, I learned that in third grade.
I learned it in fifth grade. Well, no, I learned it after fifth grade when I realized that I kept learning stuff that my fifth grade teacher taught us that was completely full of shit.
Yep.
And just went, oh. She was full of shit.
Yeah.
The good
I made
days.
My first grade teacher cry.
All right, you got to tell this story.
I love it.
I was...
You were yourself.
I don't know. I was stubborn and I didn't want to be like the... My first grade teacher wanted me to be... She wanted to like be the mother to me. Like she was very motherly and wanted to kind of nurture me. And I was just like, bitch, teach me math. You know, I didn't want to have any of this first grade bullshit. You know, yes. Let's get on with it. You know, teach me some stuff. And I was just not having it. And she ended up calling my parents and she was crying on the phone because I was so problematic.
And I bet your parents only made it worse. They rubbed some dirt in that wound.
I don't know. I don't know what happened, but yeah.
Did they call your first grade teacher Cupcake?
We'll have to ask Rita's mom when we.
Yeah, you should ask my mom about that one because she probably knows the story better than I do. Ask my mom. I think I will work on that, getting my mom on the air because I think it would be funny.
I think
and
be
terrific.
Good
yeah.
Yep. Yeah, tell her Weird wants to hear bad Brita stories.
That's right. God.
She's got plenty.
Oh, so, I know Brita, and I know that you weren't some sweet little innocent snowflake to start with.
Nope.
Not
never.
Like now.
Not like now.
Thanks, Al.
Yeah. Brita's so sugar and spice she doesn't even poop.
Yeah, that's right.
Girls don't poop.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, let's go. We're over time
it's
already.
It's that time. Reminder, the book club book, The Gray Man by...
When is the book
Jim
club
Curtis.
Day? Do we have a day?
Well, we're doing it the first... I think we're kind of reaching a consensus that we'll do it. We'll introduce the book the first show of the month, and we'll review it the last show of the month.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
That gives us a few weeks to acquire it and read it, and then we can talk about it on the last show of the month.
Okay, cool.
All right. Well, I will talk to the author, and if he's not available on the last show of the month, we'll see if we can postpone it.
We'll work it in somewhere.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
And that's going to be the 24th of April.
Yeah, and I think we should also, you know, push it back a little bit. If the hosts don't get off the fucking stick and read the damn book.
I know.
Hey, we got a month. I'll read it.
Okay.
Yes, The Gray Man by Jim Curtis.
By Major Claudel.
Major Claudel, that's right. otherwise known as Old NFO. I think I can put a link. Let's see. Oh. Bear with me here for a second.
You want, I can do it.
Never mind.
We got it.
You got it already? Somebody did it? Okay, good. Several people put it in there. All right.
Watch this shit.
Good.
Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, enjoy that. Buy books.
Yep.
And also just like, especially with these, like, you know, blogger authors, you know, independent authors who are doing a debut book. The more money we throw at them, the more books they'll throw back at us. So, yeah, there's another reason to go buy some damn books.
Good plan.
I like that. All right, people, I guess that's it. And we're over, but I don't know. It was good.
It was good. It was good for me.
All right. As long as it was good for you.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I can't handle that one. There's a little case I don't go with that, but I am indeed glad it was good for you, Brita.
Yes.
Let us know when we can do it again.
Okay. Next week.
Next week. All right. Everybody have a good weekend.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.